We've come to First Baptist this morning for a very solemn purpose. We're here to ordain Tyler Wachtin into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to set him apart for the service of the Lord. Now, I thought he'd be sitting right up here where I could just look right down at him, but he's sitting right back there with his dear wife, Allison. And I was surprised and pleased to be asked by Tyler to preach his ordination sermon today. And that is my challenge this morning. Tyler, you've been preparing for this moment for a long time. You've been training by our pastor, under our pastor, for the last 4 years. And during that time, you have studied intensively the Word of God and have read many other good books to enrich your soul and to sharpen your mind for the awesome task before you. You've been involved in a variety of leadership, and now the pastors, the board, and the members of this congregation have deemed that you are ready to take this step of ordination. But let me say something very key here this morning. Man cannot ordain anybody. All that we can do is to recognize what God has already decreed, to recognize that you, Tyler, have been chosen by God and set apart for this ministry by God Himself. I want to say a word about our young men in this congregation, of whom Tyler is one. I marvel at the responsibilities being carried on by a good number of our young men in this congregation who are working full-time, who have the leadership of their wives and families, who are serving as deacons in this church, carrying out their responsibilities and duties which grow out of that, volunteering their time and their money in the upkeep of this building and grounds, teaching in the Sunday school or serving in the worship, on the worship team or the sound booth or in a multitude of other ways. I think of James Casson, who in addition to being the chairman of the board is also studying toward a theological degree from a seminary in England. And all of that, on top of being a husband and a father, I marvel at these men. Members of this church, for the most part, have no idea of the degree to which some of these men and their families have been stretched. You're one of those, Tyler. You've given yourself to teaching and to preaching as part of your preparation for becoming a pastor in this church. You've not chosen to quit your job in order to serve full time. Like our other young men, you are choosing to add this ministry to your already full schedule. I hope our people are aware of the sacrifice that you and your wife are making. So, what is this ministry to which you have been called? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read this morning, there are three terms used for the same position. We read the term elder, who is called to shepherd the flock. That word shepherd is the word that we use as pastor. That man is to serve as an overseer, the word which other denominations translate as bishop. And so, Tyler, you are being ordained as an elder, as a pastor, and as a bishop. Those three terms are interchangeable. The word pastor is one that we hold dear as having the responsibility for the spiritual oversight of the whole congregation. The term deacon we use not for spiritual leadership, as in the case of the pastor, but rather in terms of practical leadership. For the you have particular responsibility for the physical and financial welfare of this church. You've served as a deacon, Tyler, but you've shown yourself to have a desire and a calling to spiritual leadership, and that is why today we are here to ordain you as an elder and a pastor. In this, you will assist Pastor Claycamp and Pastor Ryan Blyenberg in the spiritual leadership of this congregation. That's no small task. So, what will be your main task? As an associate pastor, you'll continue to sit on the church board. You're committed to teaching in the Sunday school tenet talks. You will be called upon to participate in leadership in a wide variety of ways. But this morning, I want to highlight what I consider to be one of the chief duties, not only of yourself, but of our other two pastors as well. For this, I turn, as has already been read, to Paul's letter to Timothy, whom he calls my son in the faith. Hear again the word of God. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. When the Lord Jesus was about to leave this earth, he gathered his disciples together and he gave them this commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach, publish, proclaim. This is the church's outstanding task and ongoing task. First Baptist Church has been committed to this ministry for 123 years. You stand in a succession of godly preachers. As part of your preparation to become a pastor or an elder, you've been given the privilege of preaching 23 times since 2017. And in the years to come, you'll be given that opportunity many more times, I'm sure. But what shall you preach? The answer is clear. Preach the word. Preach the word of God, says Paul to Timothy. Preach the gospel, says the Lord Jesus. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the word of God. The people need to hear the whole word of God, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ and explains the way of salvation, the way by which sinful people can have their sins forgiven and receive the gift of everlasting life. I say to you, preach the word. But the Bible's such a big book. We'll never be able to preach it all. That's why we here at First Baptist Church take one book at a time, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. No, Pastor Joshua and other preachers here will never get through the whole Bible No matter if he's here for 100 years. Can you stand that long? We'll never really get through. But by God's grace, we'll preach what God puts before us, bite by bite, in order that our people might hear the word of God and be strengthened in faith and led to trust the Lord Jesus. When I was 19 years of age, my mother and I began attending a brethren assembly on Sunday evenings. In the afternoons, we still attended the United Church, where we heard man's opinions about many subjects. But in those evening services, I heard something very different. Night by night, the pastor stood there with his Bible in his hand, and he explained a few verses from God's Word. Next Sunday night, when we came back, he took the next few verses, and he helped us to understand them. Sunday by Sunday night by Sunday night, we heard what God was saying to us. And as I sat there, a young unconverted man, I began to say to myself, if God's word is true, I know he's preaching the truth because I can read it for myself. That word convicted me of my sin, and for about 2 years I fought against yielding my life to Jesus Christ, just the way I suspect that some of the people sitting in this church are fighting week by week against receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. At last I could fight no longer. I could run no more. And I yielded my life into the hands of the God who loved me and gave his son to die for me. What a blessing. There was good training in that for me, because when I was called into pastoral ministry, I began to preach the word by the same method that I had heard, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Now, as we've listened to you, Tyler, we can see that you enjoy preaching the word. You preach with passion, springing from your desire that every person in the hearing will be led to trust Jesus Christ as Lord. But why do we preach the word of God? You still keep your Bibles open there to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Because the answer is there. We preach the word of God because Paul said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the Lord. Preach the word. Because Jesus is coming back to reign and to rule in his kingdom. And Jesus Christ will judge every person who has lived upon this earth. My fingers never work. I've asked for a new set of fingers and I didn't get them. Jesus took the sins of every person, every dear one, and died in his or her place. And the real question in the judgment will not be, did you say wrong things? Did you think wrong things? Did you do wrong things? Those won't be the questions, because the answer is very clear. The answer is yes to every one of them. No one is exempt. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is guilty. Not one of us can go to heaven because we have been good enough or deserved God's salvation. No, the real reason, which is already answered before we leave this earth, is, did you believe in Jesus Christ? Did you trust Him as your Savior and your only hope of forgiveness and cleansing? Did you turn away from sin and entrust your life into His loving care? Verses 3 and 4 give another reason for preaching the Word. It says, and boy, this is relevant today, isn't it? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I talked to a fellow that works on my trailer, tent trailer. And he's got the most outlandish theories about how this world came into being. I tell you, folks, it was all because little men from space there somewhere came down here and they zapped this place into... And you cannot convince him otherwise. No way, no how. Most outlandish. They'll give themselves to fables. Now, we're indefinitely in such a time. We look at the country of Canada, we look at our Western world, and we see a secular society given over to every form of wickedness. Many will not endure sound doctrine. They will not even endure the name of Jesus, except as a swear word. Many have turned aside to anything else that tickles their fancy. Even the most outlandish and unbelievable speculations. You and I are conscious, every one of us that are here in this room, of the growing hostility towards God and Christianity that is the norm today. Drive through the community. Few cars will move out of this driveway to attend any church in town. Now, there are churches holding services. There's no doubt about that. Lots of them. But not all of them preach the Word of God or preach the gospel. Many preachers do not even look upon the Word of God as the truth. Even many of those churches which used to be classified as solidly evangelical have watered down the message in favor of fluff, which tickles the ears but starves the soul. Praise God. There are still churches that remain absolutely committed to preaching the word of truth. And there are still people who come with hungry hearts, eagerly desirous to hear and obey the word of God. I am thankful for the new ones, many new ones that have come over these past months. This COVID thing has, you know, how long do we have to put up with this? And how long do we have to put up with restrictions? But it's not been all bad. You know, friends, it has caused some people to ask important questions and to come looking for answers from the Word of God. So I'm thankful for those who search out this church because they've heard that we are faithful. And I'm, dear ones, spread the word. Keep on inviting. Some come because they have found our website. Keep on using every available means. Let's find and feed hungry hearts. And so, Tyler, one of your responsibilities is very clear. Preach the word. But how must we preach the word? And I confess that I'm getting now into my favorite part of this message. The answer is also to be found here. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. Be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. pastors to be always ready to preach, to share the word in any setting, in church and out of church, on Sundays or any other day of the week, in any setting, formally or informally, ready to share with a neighbor or with a stranger on an airplane. How are we to preach? Preach practically. My dad only heard me preach two or three times before he died. You see, my dad was a farmer, and he was 50 years old when I was born. So he was already in his late 70s when he heard his son trying to learn how to preach in my first church. And when he heard me trying to preach, he gave me this advice, which I have never forgotten, and which I have tried to practice through 50 years of ministry. Preach practically, he said. Preach practically. What did he mean by that? He meant, get down where your people are. Understand their needs. Hear their heart cry. Make sure that you are... There we go again. Make sure that you are not shooting over their heads. Through a good part of my earlier ministry, my wife was the mother of three children who was usually struggling on Sunday mornings to get the kids and herself ready for Sunday school and church. She was married, of course, to a man who was also trying to get ready for church because he had to go and teach and preach and lead. And he wasn't much help to his wife. She used to say that by the time she got to church, she really needed it. She needed a word of comfort from the Lord. And my friends, we've got a lot of young mothers sitting in our congregation today who feel the same way. Think of them as you preach. Think of the people whose burdens are overwhelming and who don't know where to turn. Preach practically. Dad gave me that advice, and I pass that on to you, Tyler. Second, and this comes from the passage here, preach earnestly. Convince, rebuke, exhort. There's to be no half-heartedness about our message. If we're to convince others, they need to see that we are convinced ourselves. These dear folk are in danger. There's a heaven to go to, but there's a hell to escape from. This is earnest business. Their eternal destiny hangs in the balance. I would encourage you to preach what is in the particular passage that you have decided is before you for the day. There's enough in the surrounding verses within any passage of the Bible to explain the meaning of the text. There is a temptation at times to go everywhere preaching the word, bringing in many other verses to try to get our point across. But I confess to you that trying to bring in all of the different verses adds to the length of the message, often unnecessarily and without profit. I've used the illustration with you of a gifted baseball pitcher who needs to aim for the center of the plate and let his stuff carry the ball to where it is needed. The people who come to the church are hungry for the truth. They don't need to know all the derivation of all the words in the passage. They don't need all the background that the preacher has to sort through in order to bring his message. The preacher needs it because he has to rightly divide the word of truth. But the people don't need to see the skeleton in the closet. They just need the simple and milk and meat of the word of God, so that they may really understand what God is saying to them today. So, preach practically, preach earnestly, preach passionately and compassionately. We've all heard of men who preach the word of God harshly. Oh, whole churches have been founded on preachers that preach the word of God harshly, according to the law. Their people have suffered under the law and not heard the gospel. Yes, there is a need to deal straightforwardly with sin and human shortcomings. That's absolutely true. We've all heard, I think, of people that have said after they heard a message, especially when they were new to a church, "Who told that preacher about me? How did he know about me? Somebody snitched." No, nobody snitched, because the Holy Spirit knows all about every person in the place. And as I sat under the gospel ministry for 2 years, as I went every Sunday evening and shook the hand of the pastor at the door, and he said, "How are you, Al?" And I grinned or smiled and broadly and said, "I'm fine." I think he knew just the same as I knew that I was lying through my teeth. I wasn't fine. Do it gently. You see, I was reminded of this week as I read Philip Yancey's book, What's So Amazing About Grace? Yancey reminded me that many people feel like failures. They have lost hope. They suffer a lingering sense of unworthiness. They feel that God is an angry God, ready to pounce on them. Anybody in this congregation, don't put up your hands. Anybody in this congregation ever feel that way? They need to hear of God's grace, of His mercy, of His loving kindness. He is the Father waiting and watching for the return of the prodigal. His heart yearns for His erring child. He's done everything necessary to redeem them and bring them home. The blood of His Son has been shed as the full payment for every sin that they have ever committed, and they need to hear of God's grace revealed in the coming of Jesus to pay for or atone for their sin. That every sin they've ever committed, every thought that they've ever thought that they knew was wrong, has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Do it passionately. I don't have to tell you, Tyler, to preach passionately. I have listened to you. And your passion shows through in your voice and on your face. Preach simply. Preach clearly. Exhort, it says, with all long-suffering and teaching. Beg, entreat, beseech. Come alongside your hearers in a way that shows your understanding of their needs. Think of what they're going through, the trials that they face. You see, that's why you need to preach with much long-suffering, much compassion, much tenderness, as well as sound doctrine. Don't forget the sound doctrine part. Many of them find it very hard to read the Word of God. I'm sure I'm talking to people in this congregation this morning that fit into this category. They find it difficult to read the Word of God, difficult to understand it. They come to church in the hopes that the preacher will help them to grasp what the Word of God is saying and that he will make it simple. And many of them hope that he will make it short. Whoops! At least they hope that he'll not be overly long. My conclusion. This is my message for you, Tyler, on your ordination Sunday. You have many responsibilities, but one of your chief tasks as a pastor is this very important work. Preach the word. God bless you all. Amen. Shall we pray? And now we lift up our voices to you and our hearts to you, O Lord God, our Father, because we need you. No one else anywhere in this entire universe can meet our need but you. You've given us your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to respond to it. Help us to grasp your love and grace. In Jesus' name.